I would like for you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Once you find chapter 2, why don't you find verse number 17? Nehemiah chapter 2. I want you to find verse 17, and then why don't you go ahead and stand with me, if you will. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 17, and I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently, and let's do this. If you all look at me for just a second, our auditorium is structured as such. We're all kind of crammed in here. We're quite close to one another. And so that makes it so that if for some reason someone needs to step out, it causes a little distraction. So do this. If you ever have to step out, make it an emergency. And then if you do, step out with as little fanfare as possible. And then the ushers might ask you to step toward the back. That way, when you come back in, there's no distraction. I couldn't tell you how important it is that while the preaching is going on, there's not distractions. And we want that. And that I'm saying for all of us, and especially I'm saying it for just a few over here on my left-hand side of the auditorium. I just want them to understand I love them, but I don't want them to distract me or the service today. And I'm sure they know who I'm talking about. Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse number 17. The Bible says this, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they straightened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant of the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? I'm going to preach a sermon this morning that's going to be called Let Us Rise Up and Build. It has everything to do with our church and the building that we hope God will give us for the next phase of growth here at our church. And let's pray. Father, help me today. I need my mind to be strongly, deeply rooted into the sermon of the day. May the distractions be minimal. And Father, may all of us surrender ourselves to Thy Spirit so that the service and the sermon accomplishes the purpose for which it was created. God, most of all, help us not to distract anyone from You. May You be the one that's exalted and uplifted as a result of what's said and done in this service, as well as the other two services that are being conducted. Bless us now with Thy Spirit's presence, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll have a seat there, let me give you a little bit of history real quick in regard to what we just read. The Bible says that the Jews at this point had been in captivity for about 20 years. There are some that were in captivity and they had escaped and they had gone back to Jerusalem, which was home base for them. Hananiah, one of the escaped Jews, he had escaped, he went back to Jerusalem, and then he came back to Babylon where all the other Jews were being held captive. And Nehemiah, he was the preacher, the man of God, or the prophet of that day, he was in Babylon, and this fella that had escaped Babylon, captivity, went back to Jerusalem, home base, comes back to Babylon. And when Hananiah gets back, Nehemiah, who was in captivity, said, "What was it like back home? What's been going on? What? Tell me about it." And Hananiah said, "Oh, Nehemiah, it's not good." He explained. He said, "The walls of our city are down. The gates have been burned. The buildings are devastated." And Nehemiah, the man of God, that just broke his heart. He said, "Oh my, oh my, oh my." Nehemiah, the Bible says, Nehemiah, he said, "I got to be alone." Nehemiah went out and he went out to fast and to pray. His heart was broken. Back in Jerusalem, the home base, if you will, it was in despair and devastated, and the city was tore up. Now, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. In other words, when the king would want a drink, the king would say, Nehemiah, get me a drink. And Nehemiah would take that drink and give the king his cup and give him the drink. Now, the king notices something. The king said to Nehemiah, he said, bring me a drink. And Nehemiah brought the king a drink. And the king, who was his captor, he noticed that Nehemiah was sad. And I want to point something out. I wish I had time to talk about this for a minute. The Bible says it was the first time the king had ever seen Nehemiah sad. In other words, Nehemiah had a great testimony no matter what was going on, and he had a good attitude and a good spirit. So what happened is the king said, I want a drink, and Nehemiah took him a drink. And this time, this news from home had discouraged Nehemiah. And the king looked at Nehemiah and said, oh my, I can tell something got your spirit down. Now, it's the first time in all the captivity that that had happened. And the king said, what in the world is wrong with you, Nehemiah? And Nehemiah said, we got word from back home. Our city is destroyed. The gates are broken down, and the walls, it's been burned. And Nehemiah said, I just wish I could go home and build. I wish I could rebuild. And believe it or not, Nehemiah asks his captor, the king, he said, would you give me permission to go home and to fix up that which is broken down? And Nehemiah had a lot of courage to ask that. But get this, the king granted that permission. What a testimony Nehemiah must have had. And so Nehemiah is going to take a journey. He's going to go nearly 500 miles from Babylon to Jerusalem because something needs built back at home, back at Jerusalem. Nehemiah and a group of people, they finally arrive back in Jerusalem. When they get there, it's late at night, but even at night, they can see that the destruction of their city, that their walls are down and the gates have been burned. The place where they meet, it was all a mess. Nehemiah then gathers people. Not everybody had been led into captivity, but he gathers people and he gets this great big crowd of people. And that's where we get some of the verses that are used frequently from Nehemiah. He gets all these people together and he says to everybody, folks, let's build something. Now, they all met, I don't know, they met outdoors and maybe standing in the ruins of things. He said, we need to build this thing. And I'm so glad that Nehemiah had that kind of faith. You know something? I want to see America saved. Do you know how many people are saying, oh, phooey, there's no chance. I don't want to believe that. I want to believe we could turn America back to God. You say, well, it's not going to happen. Well, with that attitude, it's not going to happen. I'm glad old Nehemiah said, let's get this thing built. Let's do what we can. And that's what he did. And this big crowd of people that Nehemiah had gathered, they got excited. Now, I got to tell you, up to that point, everything was smooth. There was no opposition at all. The devil had not caused him one bit of problem. I mean, old Nehemiah, he goes to the king, and the king asks, what do you need? And Nehemiah said, I'd like to go home. And the king said, yes. And there were people that helped him, and it had been very, very smooth. But I got to tell you something. Anytime God's people set out to build something, the devil will give them trouble. Now, he always does. Now, if you're not going to build anything, if you're not going to accomplish anything for God, then the devil doesn't have much of a reason to mess with you. I was talking to one of our young men the other day who's really stepped up for God, and he said, man, I had some trouble come my way. You know what I told him? I said, I congratulate you. You stepped up for God. Now the devil's going to take a few shots at you. Really, it's an honor. It's not that I like it. I don't want you to go through it, but hey, you step up, you decide you're going to do something for God, and then the old devil's going to say, well, wait a minute. I'm going to see if I can slow this guy down. I'm going to see if I can slow this progression down. Anytime God's people set out to build something, the devil wants to bring them trouble. Now, in this story, the enemy could have had a couple of names, really, so you know. It's always the devil behind it, and he uses human instrumentality. But there are two guys, one by the name of Sanballat, the other by the name of Tobiah. And they were troublemakers, and they're about to give them trouble. Have you noticed that John loved Jesus, and we name our kids John, but you don't find anybody that names their kids Sanballat or Tobiah? There's a reason for that. We don't name our daughters Jezebel. There's a reason for that. You know, you look in the Bible and those that oppose the work of God, you want to name your child after that? Well, as the story goes, these two men, Sanballat and Tobiah, they begin to oppose the building that Nehemiah had been led of God to do. It says in Nehemiah 4:1, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Well, I believe this. I believe that God has only just begun to build what God wants to build here for our church. I think we're just at the beginning. But I will promise you something. With the announcement of our new building program, with our youth conference quickly approaching, you can almost be sure that the devil would like to oppose it. But let me tell you something. I feel like Nehemiah. I would like to say to all of you, let's rise up and build. Let's just rise up and build. Let's do something for God. And I want to show you just a few things about the story of Nehemiah and what took place. And there's something in it that you and I can learn. Our program is Nehemiah 2:18, let us rise up and build. And I'm going to show you something from the very story from which we get the theme for our program, some things that we can learn, some things that we can be cautious of and careful of. And it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing that we can go to the Bible and we can today watch or see the possibility of some of the same type of struggles that Nehemiah faced when he was following God in the building of and rebuilding of Jerusalem. First of all, there's something that we all have to face. Nothing is ever born without travail. Nothing is ever born without travail. The Bible says in Nehemiah 2:18, regarding the work that they're about to do, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Here it says, so they strengthened their hands for this good work. Now they strengthened their hands because they knew there was hard work on the horizon. You see, nothing's born without travail. Nothing's built without travail. They had not even started the work when that comment is made, but they knew it was going to cost them something. Oh, that's one reason why I preach a sermon like this. You know, we know that God, we have to have more space. Really, our building program to me is not all about a building. It's all about people, but we've got to have more space for people. You know, earlier I told you, we have 41 cars that are parked off of our property today because we don't have room for all the cars. And so we need room for the cars. It'd probably be a good thing if we could park all of our cars on our property instead of everybody else's in the neighborhood. But we need to go forward. And I believe this. I don't think anything is born without travail. Okay, if you have a baby. Cassie's expecting a baby. Don't listen to a thing I'm about to say, Cassie. Just put your fingers in your ears. Do what Jack does every sermon. Don't listen to a thing that I say. But when you have a baby, I'm sorry, that comes with travail. It comes with pain. You know, a lady finds out that she's pregnant. And then her body begins to change. And as the baby grows, the mama grows with it. And there are aches and there are pains. And before long, she's waddling when she walks, and she tries to set to the right a little to get comfortable. But that doesn't work, so she tries to set to the left a little and try to get comfortable. That doesn't work, so you move toward the front of your chair, and that doesn't work. And you move toward the back of your chair, and that doesn't work. And then you can't sleep at night, and then you get indigestion, and you're thinking, good night, where did that taste come from? I never ate anything that's like that. And then her emotions begin to take a bit of a roller coaster, and there's a little bit of a ride that you're on. Then her appetite, she begins to crave chocolate ice cream, sardines and pickles, and all this begins to happen. But when you have a baby, I'm telling you, there's travail. It's not always comfortable. And when the day comes for the baby to be born, then that travail increases terribly for the dad. And it gets worse until that baby is born. And we all know that. We all, those of you that are adults and you older teenagers, you understand what a mom goes through when she brings forth a child. But anytime something is being born, There's travail involved in it. I think God, you take for instance, I think we're going to try to, we'd like to see us give birth to a new building and a new complex of whatever sort we need to help our church. But that doesn't always come smoothly. That doesn't always come easily. There is work involved. There is travail. There's some pain. There's some inconvenience that goes along with it. And I think any time a church gives birth to something, then it creates some discomfort. You know, you take our youth conference. If we're going to make a difference in the lives of our young people, then there's a price to pay to get there. Hey, I got to tell you something, folks. The devil does not sit back idly and watch God's church do something great. He's been attacking from the beginning. And if we're going to do something for God, then the devil's going to oppose it. And let me tell you this also. He plays dirty. This war with the devil, it's not a gentleman's war. He's low down, good for nothing, scoundrel. He's evil, he's mean, and he's wicked. So I got to tell you, nothing is born without travail. Hey, the second thing that I see in this story that we might stay alerted to is this. The enemy laughed at them. Nehemiah and these people, they're rebuilding. They're building buildings and everything. And the Bible says in Nehemiah 2:19, they laughed us to scorn. The enemy was laughing at them. I mean, scorning them. Not just a little chuckle, to scorn. I mean, they were mocking and getting other people involved. Now, in Nehemiah 4:3, it says, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and they said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break it down their stone walls. Tobiah, who's one of the enemies, mockingly says, while laughing, he's saying something like this. Those idiots, if they build a building, a fox could come along and knock it down. Now, they're mocking and they're teasing. Now, I don't know where the Sanballat is or the Tobiah, but they're out there in this world. And it may be that as we are building and we're trying to go forward for God, there might be people that laugh at us. I think they laughed and said, you're nothing. I think they said, you're nothing but a bunch of slaves. You can't build these walls. You're just a, hey, they might say, you're just a bunch of country folks. You can't do this. Folks, you may find it might be somebody in your family that laughs at us. There might be somebody in the community that laughs at us. There might be people in what we would call the movement of the fundamental Baptist that would laugh at us. It might be somebody in our hometown that laughs at us. But, hey, if you're not careful, we'll have somebody in our own church that'll laugh at us. But I have to tell you, God gets the last laugh in everything, in everything. I don't mean this in an offensive way at all. Almost five years ago, when I came to New Bern, North Carolina, someone laughed at me. They said, why are you going there? But they don't laugh anymore. That's because if God's in it, let the world laugh. Let those that would be an opponent of the old-time religion laugh. You can laugh all you want. They mocked Jesus. They laughed at him. I think they laughed at John the Baptist. I think they laughed, but they can laugh all they want. God is alive and God is able. I believe this. I remember someone. I wonder if it wasn't the devil in my brain. Y'all remember when we really wanted this building that we're in, which is a beautiful building? There's a couple times I got to look. We looked at all the other buildings, and they're all about half the price. And there was no way we were ever going to have this building. And I felt like the devil was almost laughing when we men. You remember we came over and we all went in the what is the old auditorium, and we went in there, got on our knees, and we prayed and said, "Oh God, give this to us." I felt there were times the devil was saying, "Come on, you can't have that building already. There's no way you can't afford that. It's too much." I felt like the devil was laughing. Well, I thank God that while the devil was laughing, God was saying, we're going to knock that grin right off your face in a moment, buddy. Because I'm going to give that building to those people because they love me and they're going to get people saved and they're going to change lives. Listen, I promise you something. They laughed at them. I hate it. You know, I don't mind when we laugh together. And I don't mind a light laugh at me. But when I think you're laughing at me and you're trying to humiliate me and you really, really, really mean it, don't do that. I don't like that. Nobody likes to be laughed at to that degree. The imps of hell try to make people laugh when God's people are rising up to do something for God. So expect it. So if somebody comes along and you say, well, we're getting ready to try to figure out how to get another building. And they say, oh, good night, what are you thinking? You say, well, we're just thinking the way God thinks. But don't let the laughter stop you. So nothing's born without travail. They laughed at them back then. But not only that, the Bible says the enemy actually despised them. Listen to it. Nehemiah 2:19, it says, and despised us and said, what is this thing ye do? I thank God that Nehemiah said, even though you despise us, we're going to build these walls. We're here to build something, and we're going to build it. Laugh at us, we're going to build. Despise us, we're going to build. Nobody enjoys being disliked. Nobody enjoys being hated. You know, the word despise is a pretty heavy word. In other words, you know, if you want to understand how they were laughing, these were people that despised these Christians. Those are the ones that are laughing at them. They were despised. Nehemiah said, okay, despise us, but we're going forward. We believe we need to go forward. We have to go forward. And I love this because Nehemiah did not leave the building of the walls to go attack his despisers. They were despising him, but he was busy building. The Bible says in Nehemiah 4:6, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto half thereof. And the Bible says, because the people had a mind to work. You see, in Nehemiah 2:19, they despised the work. But in Nehemiah 4:6, two chapters later, Nehemiah said, laugh at us, we're building. Despise us, we're building. Because we're not building for your approval and we're not building for your purpose, we're building for God's. We'd rather you not laugh at us, but if you do, it won't stop us. We'd rather you not despise us, but if you do, it won't stop us. So Nehemiah didn't go out and try to pick a fight with Sanballat. Nehemiah wasn't trying to pick a fight with Tobiah. They were the ones that caused the problem. And I don't try to go around pick fights. I'm not trying to pick fights. You want to know? I stay right here at my church, and we'll build our church and do what God called us to do. And that's what we're supposed to do. But I'm going to tell you something. While here we're here minding our business, doing what God told us to do, there are people that will take shots at us from out there. At least if what would happen to us is what happened to Nehemiah. Nehemiah wasn't looking for a fight. Do you know the Bible teaches that while they were actually building, and the Bible says that while these people were building, they would take bricks and mortar, and they would take a trowel and grab some mortar in it and put it between the bricks, and that's that glue that holds the bricks together. You know what they had to do? The enemy was attacking them, and while they were building, they were putting mortar in the bricks with one hand, and they had their sword in the other hand. You say, why? Because the enemy would attack while they were building. And they would go from putting mortar on, turn around and fight with their other hand. And they'd fight with the sword and the enemy would flee. And they'd say, give me some of that mortar. Put some water in it. Dried up while we were back there fighting. Little enemy blood, that'll get her done. But that's what they had to do. I'm glad that Nehemiah stayed after. I'll tell you what happens sometimes. Sometimes the enemy attacks, and if you're not careful, you'll get all caught up in the attack, and you forget that you're building something. I don't want to be any part of any attack any longer than what I have to defend the fact, so I can get back to work, because the work is really getting people saved and changing lives and getting people into church and under the gospel. Sometimes we get to the point where all we want to do is fight about things. I don't want to fight about things. I want to build things. I want to grow things. I want to love people. I want to get people saved. Oh, but sometimes you got to fight the battle, because the battle comes at you. But that's what they did. They said, we're building. And they were despised, but they kept building. I don't know why. But someone may despise us. Maybe they say, well, you know, always moving. You're so excited about your church. Well, sorry. Well, we are, and that's sincere, but you could be despised for it. Hey, and listen, if you're ever despised for being what you are, if you're ever despised for being old-time religion, remember this, Jesus was despised for you. I think we ought to be willing to be despised for Him. So, remember this, as we're building, there's nothing born without travail. You say, well, I'm really excited about this new building. It may cost you something. I'm not so excited about it anymore. But everything costs if it's going to be born or built. The enemy could laugh. The enemy could despise. Then the Bible uses the term mocked. The enemy mocks them. Let me read it to you. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, all of this from the story of Nehemiah and the building, it says, but it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, he was mad. And he took great indignation, he was huffy, mad, angry, and it says, and mocked the Jews. So now they're laughing, despising, and that's a hatred. And with great indignation, the Bible says they're mocking them. They're mocking them. Nehemiah, their leader, you know, he would get up and say something very sincerely and say, well, praise the Lord, we're making progress. And old Sanballat and the mockers would say, praise the Lord, we're making progress. You ever watch people mock like that? Tease and mock? Oh, Nehemiah would sincerely say, well, amen. We got some funds in to help with the building. And then old Tobiah in the background and the mockers would say, amen. We got some funds in. They were mocking. Nehemiah, he would, and I thank God. Nehemiah said, okay, you can mock us. You can despise us. You can hate us. You can tease us. We're going to keep building. We believe in the old-time religion. Hey, let me tell you all something. I believe in the Twin Rivers Baptist Church, and I believe in what God wants to do here, and I believe that God has something spectacular for our future. And if by chance the story of Nehemiah is in the Bible to help us to have some learning and to prepare for the possibility of opposition, and remember, if you're doing something for God, you're going to have opposition. I think if somebody mocks you, oh, so be it. They mocked not only Nehemiah, but they mocked those that were helping him. But Jesus was mocked for us. We should be willing to be mocked for him. Remember, they mocked him on the cross and they said, hey, if you're the King of the Jews, come on down off that cross. Now, you know something? They were mocking him about something that they better thank God he did not do. Had he come down off that cross, their chance of ever being saved would have gone right along with everybody else's. You know, there are people that might mock you about the church or mock you about the New Testament church. This Baptist church here, they might mock you about the commitment to the New Testament church. But let me tell you something. If we did away with all the local New Testament churches, all the other organizations would be in trouble. You just think about that. Mockers. They mocked that thing, and they were making fun of it. And who knows that the mockers weren't saying, you stupid, straight-laced, outdated, old-time religion, Baptist. Well, they may say that. But I have to tell you, thank God, Nehemiah said, let's keep building, let's keep building, let's keep building. So if you build something, there's going to be some pain, some discomfort. Might get laughed at, might get despised, might get mocked, but not only that. I noticed that the enemy actually told them they were too weak to do what needed to be done. In Nehemiah 4:2, it says this, and he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? You know what he called them? Feeble. He's mocking them, calling them pansies. He's calling them weak. He's calling them twerps. He's saying, you're too soft. So now they're being mocked, and they're being told they're weaklings. Feeble Jews. I don't know, maybe someone will say, let's think of our youth conference for a second. Somebody might say, what that little old church over there, what are they doing trying to host a youth conference? What are they doing trying to get a bigger building? What are they doing? We're just trying to do the will of God. We're not in competition with you. As a matter of fact, you don't need your nose in our business. We'll just keep our nose in God's business. That's all. But these people, they actually, they're people going around saying, you're too weak. And they're mocking and teasing and being hateful and destructive toward what was going on. Look, I'm sure when they were talking about weakness, they said, but you don't have enough money to get another building. Well, I would agree with them on that. Hey, you tell me the truth. I'll jump right on that. No, we don't. But I know somebody that does. He's our Heavenly Father. And He can get the job done. Say, well, I think they tease him. Said, you don't have the strength. You don't have what it takes. Hey, maybe in their mocking when they called them the feeble Jews, say, you don't have the backbone. You know what, folks? I believe that if God wants it, we have the backbone to do whatever God wants. I really believe that. Your church can't handle the pressure of it. Well, I think we can handle whatever pressure God brings our way. And you say, well, you don't have everything that it takes. Well, we might be little, and we might not have everything you think we ought to have, but little is much when God is in it. And dynamite comes in little packages. And don't count us out too quickly. If God wants something, I think we ought to just let God have what He wants. But they were actually belittling them and saying, you're weaklings, you're feeble, you can't. When I was growing up, my dad had an uncanny ability to motivate me. My dad could say something to me and he would say, son, I wouldn't try that. You probably can't do it. No, Dad would say, you know, we needed to go somewhere. Dad would say, you probably can't get the yard mowed in 25 minutes, can you? He said, don't even try. Well, I'm thinking, what? I can get it in 20. Write me down for 18 minutes. Well, I wonder if those that were out to tell Nehemiah, you bunch of weaklings. I'll tell you what, you take a bunch of people like us and say you're weaklings, you can't do it. You know what that makes me want to do? I want to build two buildings. Yeah. Tell us we can't do it. But the enemy, that's what they did. They tried to belittle them. They told them, you're too weak. You can't. You don't have the backbone. You don't have everything it takes. And so we go on with the story. Well, what else happened here? Number six, the enemy actually attacks the builders. I was describing it to you earlier. It says in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17, it says, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, which with those that laded every one with his, one of his, I'm sorry, I'm butchering this up. Let me read it again. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laded every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with one hand held a weapon. In other words, he was doing the work with one hand, and he held a weapon in the other hand. But they kept going. These people actually, on purpose, were trying to tear down what was being built. I'm talking about they would come up and try to take bricks off. You know, do you realize that there is the potential that there are evil people that would actually try to take the spiritual bricks away from the building of the things of God? Now, in this passage of Scripture, if you read it all, you'd find out that they, Sanballat and Tobiah, they actually write some letters and try to hurt Nehemiah with them. They're spreading letters around. And what they did, they're spreading rumors, saying things that were not true. They were nasty rumors. Now, you say, well, how would that happen in our day? Oh, that would be through texting or emails or Facebook or attacks like that. So Nehemiah, they're building. The enemy begins to attack them. They're actually coming up and trying to take bricks off of what they're building. And then they write these letters and they spread them around. And I thank God, we don't have anybody that's trying to attack us. We don't have anybody that's trying to tear us down. We don't have anybody trying to take bricks off the wall or spreading things like that around. But you got to understand something. It did happen. It happened back there. It could happen to us. I mean, God gives us the Bible to warn us. Some stoop as low to launch attacks in that way. Now, I hope to God that that doesn't happen. I hope to God that we don't face something like that. But let me tell you something. If ever we do, I hope you'll remember back and say, you know what, preacher told me that we get to moving forward with this thing for God. Somebody may turn on us or somebody may attack us from the outside. And you want to be careful because the Bible teaches it happened in Nehemiah's day. Now, let me show you something else that happened. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 10, the enemy brought discouragement to Nehemiah and the builders. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 10, it says, "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." The people that were bearing the burden for the building, the people that were really in it, and they were sacrificing and make it happen, it says that their strength began to decay. What was happening? Well, I'll tell you what was happening. They were being mocked. They were being teased. They were being attacked. People were saying things about them. They were whittling away at the spirit of the people. They were whittling away at the attitude of the people. Hey, isn't it a wonderful thing when you go to a church and the spirit is high and you say, boy, everybody loves the Lord and they want to go forward and we believe right and we're going the right direction and we're excited and we're having a good time at it. You know what? They just kept working on that attitude and working on that spirit to the point where it says the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed. They began to work on them until there was discouragement. This is look, that means, and so you all know, it's usually relatively easy at the beginning of any project to be excited. But the longer the project goes, the less exciting it is. And some people are a little bit like Roman candles. You ever seen a Roman candle at 4th of July time? You light it and it comes on hot and heavy. And in a second it goes. Roman candle Christians. I'm excited, but when you get down to where the rubber meets the road and you got to keep going and you got to be consistent, you got to do it for a while, then it wears them down. So they began to discourage the people. Let me tell you something, folks. Staying excited about the things of God and commitments about those things, there comes a point where it just takes character. You've heard me say this before. I've been preaching since I was a 16-year-old boy. I've preached for a long, long time. This number's in my brain because I glance at it every once in a while. I preached 37,000 sermons. After you preach 37,000 sermons, when you go to preach, you get excited on purpose. You say to yourself, these people, they deserve that you not be boring. They deserve that you put your heart into it. They deserve that you have some spizzarinkum. They deserve that you get up there and that you attack the devil and that you stay excited and you stay committed and you keep on going. After 37,000 sermons, you got to do it because it's right to do, not because it's easy, not because it's convenient, not because it comes smoothly. You do it because it's right. Hey, and listen. When you're building something for God, at first it's exciting and you go through a little bit of a honeymoon effect. But let me tell you something. The things of God, we're to serve God with excitement and commitment all the way till Jesus comes back. And when it loses its new enamor and the new excitement, people of character say, I'll stay excited because it's worth being excited about. So, always remember, projects take longer, cost more, and are harder than what we expected. Well, I learned that with my Chilton's auto manual when I was a kid. I'd look and they'd say, well, it'll take you 15 minutes. 5 hours later, I'm thinking, what happened to my 15 minutes? But when we begin to be inconvenienced, then it becomes hard. So let me tell you the truth. The truth is there's a discouragement that can come. We've got to remember that. We've got a distance to travel with. We're going to figure out a way to get a bigger building so we can house all of, just if we could house all the people that we have now, it would be a wonderful thing. But we have growth to contend with, but it could become discouraging. I will promise you, this is something that you don't have to stay aware of, but I want you to know, when a church is going forward, the attack on the leadership of the church is heavy. You know, I don't walk in here and whine to you all the time if the devil's been hard on me. I don't come in here and say, oh, it's so bad, it's so bad, I can't make it, I can't take it. I do that at home alone. But what happens is the devil tries to discourage. We have to decide. We're going to go forward. We're going to do something for God. So, hey, I appreciate your prayers. The devil puts your pastor through the ringer when we're moving forward. Now, I want to move forward at whatever the cost, but I want to move forward. And then you find out they actually then the devil, the opposer, if you will, Sanballat and Tobiah, they attack Nehemiah. It says in Nehemiah 6:6, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, and which cause thou buildest the wall, and thou mayest be their king. What they did is they went around and said, Nehemiah, we know what you're doing. You want to become king. You want to take the king's position. That wasn't what Nehemiah wanted to do at all. Nehemiah was trying to build something, and they're saying it's just a vanity trip for you. Now, you know what Nehemiah did? Nehemiah said, say what you want. We're going forward. We're going to keep building the wall. And because God's the one that sets up leaders and takes leaders down, that's God's place. Folks, if we want to see people saved, if you're a leader in the church, you watch yourself. You keep yourself where you need to be with God, because you know what the devil will do? The devil will try to get the leaders in the church discouraged. There'll be people taking shots at the leaders in the church. Because the devil is not for the growth of the things of God, which is people. It's don't ever lose track of that. This isn't all about getting some bricks and mortar. This is all about reaching people and helping people. So the devil takes shots at the leadership. I'm almost done. You find out then finally in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemy heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in, it says that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together. You know what happened? They got it built, and then the guys that were attacking him said, you know what? I like you after all. Let's be buddies. Isn't that amazing? They were attacking them for what they were. And when Nehemiah said, we're going to do this with or without you, we're going to build with or without you, and then they built, they said, look, can't we all just get along here? That is so sad to me. That they didn't help with it. They didn't love what that church was building. They weren't for what that church was building. They attacked it. They tried to hurt the leader, tried to hurt the people, mocked and teased. And the people said, we're going forward with or without you. We are going forward. And they built the wall. They built what they were supposed to build. And then they said, oh, we changed our mind. We changed our mind. Well, and I guess that's their prerogative. But what I love to hear is what it says in Nehemiah 6:15. It finally says this, so the wall was finished. So the Bible teaches that they finished what God gave them to do, and they finished the job. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't feel like there are a bunch of people criticizing us. I don't think within our church there's a faction that's out to destroy the building of the wall, if you will. I'm telling you that potential is there because the Bible teaches that potential is there. But you know, one of the best ways in the world to shut up a critic is go ahead and build God's church. Just go ahead and do what God gave us to do. You know, if someone says you can't, and you're doing something that is for God, then do it. And then God will see, and they will see. Just do what God has called you to do. So, maybe not a sermon, maybe just a teaching. The Bible says, let us rise up and build, and that's what they said. Remember, nothing is born without travail. It's going to cost us something. They may laugh, they may despise, they may mock, they may say we're too weak, they may attack, they may actually try to pull the bricks off the wall, They'll try to discourage the spirit, and the devil, that's one of the first tools. He comes to discourage the leadership and get the leadership down and weaken the leadership. And then they attack Nehemiah, and then when we're getting toward the end, they say, "Oh, listen, we're not your enemy after all." They were two-faced, is what it was. They were two-faced. Went from one extreme to another. But thank God, in the end, it was said, "So the wall was finished." And that's what we'll look forward to. Now, we start in the last week or two, and I'm sure we have a many-month process to get where we're going. Let's pull together, and I think God's going to do something wonderful here for the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I hope that you'll be praying about, and I hope that you'll be thinking about what you can do to be a part of it. Don't just watch. Plan on figuring out how you can get involved. And I think God wants your involvement. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we'd like to welcome you to the Savior. So if you're not saved and you say, "Pastor, if I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Please pray for me." Would you raise your hand and say, "That's me. I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again." Well, if you're not saved, we're going to have an altar call in a moment. And if you need to come, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can be born again. Then, if you're here today and you say, "I'm saved, I know it, God knows it, and I'll not lie in church, I'll not lie to myself, I'm saved, and I'm not ashamed to let it be known." Who here could raise your hand and say, "That's me, I'm saved, I know it, I'm born again, if I die today, I'd go to heaven." God bless you. God bless you. You can put those hands down. In regard to Nehemiah 2:18, let's not let the devil keep us from going forward. I do promise you, in the process of going forward, somehow the devil will oppose us. He will oppose you. He will oppose me. He will oppose us. It happened in the Bible. It's going to happen in this day. We've got to decide that we'll keep going forward for the Lord. Hey, and don't you be the one that causes the opposition. If it's for God, don't you be the one to cause that disunity. Don't you be the one to cause that opposition. Who here then would say, "Pastor, I've been challenged today. I want to do my part. Attitude and everything. I want to do my part. I want us to rally together. Let us rise up and build, and I want to be a part of that." Would you raise your hand? Let God see it. God bless you. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, you need to pray. I realize I've talked to you about the attack of the devil. Hey, and let me tell you something. Those of you who are trying to build a family for God, let me tell you, same kinds of attacks can come on a family. Hey, you're building a business, and you say, "God owns my business. You know, I'm a steward of what God gave me." The devil, he's going to bring the attacks toward that business, that Christian businessman. What I taught you today, that's how the devil opposes. This is how he does it. This is good in every aspect of our Christian life. Today, we're applying it to the building of the New Testament church. If you need the altar, we'll ask you that you feel free to come. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Maybe you need to come and pray about what God would have you to do to help financially with the program that we're getting ready to launch. Maybe you need to come and pray about just your involvement, your commitment to that. Let's not let the devil attack and hurt the plan for God. God's purpose, God's plan. Some of those words, "Come and let us build." The Bible says, "And we strengthened our hand unto that good work." Let us rise up and build, they said. If it happened in Nehemiah's day, it could happen in ours. Oh, but if Nehemiah succeeded, no matter what the opposition, then I guess we could succeed no matter what the opposition. And by the way, I'm not worried. I'm not telling you I think we're going to be attacked tomorrow. I don't feel that way at all. If someone attacked us tomorrow, I'd be shocked. They'd have to be awful evil to do so. But I don't think that's on the horizon. But I know the potential is there. The potential is there. Remember, that attack was headed up by the devil. The devil uses human instrumentality to get it done. I sure don't want him to use me to do it. I hope you don't want him to use you to do it. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah. If you need the altar, it is yet open. In a moment, we'll be on our way. Oh, do I wish the depth of my soul that I could preach a sermon and that 2 weeks later somebody would remember what was said. Most people can't remember what was said 2 hours after we leave church on a Sunday morning. Ask them, well, what was preached this afternoon? And they say, well, I know it was about Jesus. Yeah, it sure was. But there's somebody in here, your happiness and future involvement in God's church will depend on 6 months from now when there's an issue that arises, you remembering what was preached and saying, you know what? I was told the devil won't be happy if we go forward.